focus today on the song that Mary sang. And, you know, the thing is that this song, we did spend a little bit of time on it during Sunday school, but it shows us a lot about who we are and who Mary was. So I ask you, if you missed Sunday school, then, you know, the quick recap is simply this. If you read the text, and it will show you, we'll go through a lot of what Sunday school showed us, but it'll only be recap type things, and then we'll continue on. But I want us to start today thinking about this. We all face difficult and anxious decisions in our lives. And if I would lie to you if I said I didn't. Each one of you would lie to me if you said that you didn't. And if you don't, and you're being truthful, I want to talk to you and find out how you have avoided difficult and anxious decisions in your life. Because I'm going to be honest with you. It's one of those moments where you realize things don't always go as you planned. Things don't always happen the way that you wanted them to. And many times we don't always know the path that we're supposed to take. Many times we can truly look at our own lives and find that one moment that changed the direction of where we were going. It maybe changed us for the better, or it just moved us to a different path. Whatever the case might be, we honestly are not alone in feeling like we have these anxious and desperate times in our lives. And I want us to all share in the fact that if we look today at the scripture, we can see that this same waiting and dealing with difficult circumstances is something that Mary and Joseph dealt with. It is something that as we go through these first two chapters of Luke over the next couple of weeks and we wrap this up, we start to see that Mary and Joseph definitely dealt with difficulty. They dealt with uncertainty. They dealt with anxious times. And none more anxious, I think, than maybe Mary in the moment when she found out that Christ would be born through her. Now, any of you who have had a child, who have been through that process, the moment you find out you're pregnant, there has to be an anxious feeling. I'm just throwing it out there. I wouldn't know for sure. I don't know that I will ever know how I will feel if I were pregnant. If I do find out, then please turn me into the news. It's probably going to make you some money. But what I do know is that when we look at this and we start to think about that, it is a life-changing moment. Any life-changing moment that we have comes with its own share of anxiety. It comes with its own share of expectations. It comes with its own share of difficult times because we don't necessarily want to let go of who we were to embrace who we now are. And when we really think about what that means, what we see is that as difficult as life was for them at that time, and we talked about that some in Sunday school this morning, as difficult as Mary's life was, Mary did something that we can all take a lesson from. Mary took it, and to be honest with you, as we go through today's text and we go through this message, we're going to find it hard not to smile at how Mary embraced the situation, at how Mary took pleasure in what was taking place in her life, despite the circumstances that she was facing. And as we open up, we don't see necessarily, but starting in verse 39 through 45, I'm not going to read that text. That's not today's text. But 39 through 45 is what we went through in Sunday school. We did open up with that. And in that text, we find out that Mary had decided to take and move on. She had decided, she heard the news from the angel. She decided to go see Elizabeth, who was her cousin. And upon arrival with Elizabeth, we do find out that she was also pregnant with a child. You know, we had talked about that a couple of weeks ago where, you know, Elizabeth and Zechariah were promised a son in their old age. And as it goes through this, what we see is that this child was also special. This child was also a promise of God. And this child leapt in the womb at the appearance of his cousin, because he knew that the Holy Spirit was at work on her. And this is something that is different than, I mean, any of you who have had a child knows what it feels like for a baby to move in the stomach. And many of you probably know as well, just by putting your hand on the stomach of a pregnant woman and you feel a child move, and how beautiful that is, how different that is, how amazing it is that there's something inside of her that is alive. And as this is happening, we also see that she conducted herself in such a way that when she walked in the door, that this baby leapt for joy. We see Mary arrive and the Holy Spirit takes hold in Elizabeth. And Elizabeth begins to tell her a story. Elizabeth then gives her a message and says that God is going to do what he promised you. The Holy Spirit is alive and well in that interaction between the two. And the Holy Spirit is alive and well in this church this morning. Now I want you to think about Mary's circumstances with me for a moment. Before we get into the scripture, I want us to look at something about what we have talked about, what we know about Mary over the last few weeks and over the last few years, as we've probably heard the Christmas message in many different ways. Now, Mary was young. Mary was very young. I mean, probably anywhere from 14 to 16 years old, maybe younger than that. I mean, there's no timetable in the scripture that tells us her exact age. I'm sure we can find it out if I did some research on that. But it's irrelevant other than to say Mary was young. Mary was young, she was unmarried, and she was pregnant. Now, even in today's society, that can be shunned. Now, it's more accepted now, and it's more of a thing that can take place that, you know, but this is circumstances, this is something that does not normally happen. Number one, she was betrothed to be married to Joseph, and this baby was not Joseph's. So therein lies a problem with Mary, is that it's not the man that she's betrothed to be married to. It's not his child. But she's also young. She's young, unmarried, and now with child. And in that moment, she still lifts her voice to praise God for what is taking place. Now, I want you to understand, not only was Mary from a poor and humble family, not only was Mary from a difficult situation already, she now is pregnant. A pregnant woman was considered unclean in many areas because they knew what she had done. It was one of my dad's favorite statements that I ever enjoyed, was when he'd walk up to a woman who was pregnant and say, "Does it bother you that everyone knows what you've been doing?" But in reality, everyone knew. I mean, it's evident when you're great with child, people know how you got there. That's beyond the point of the fact that Mary didn't get there that way. But assumption becomes reality in many points of our lives. And Mary, at this point in her life, being young, unmarried, and pregnant, would have been shunned by society. In fact, Mary could have faced stoning because of the circumstance she was in. But we see in all of this, we see a heart that is pure, and we realize the reason God chose Mary. We realize the reason that God knew Mary would be the right mother for Jesus. We see a heart that is in love with God. We see a heart that is purely in love with her Father in heaven. And she teaches us that we can praise the Lord in spite of our circumstances, that we can praise God at that moment, and that God's grace is sufficient for even our most troubled of times. Now, as we go through this text today, I want you to understand that is what we want to see. That even our most troubled times, God's grace is sufficient for us. It reminds us through her song that declares praise to the Father, that the birth of Jesus was far more than gifts, than trees, than Santa, than Rudolph, than Frosty, than the Grinch. It's far more than what we've made it today. The birth of Jesus is far more than what Christmas is all about in today's America, in today's world. It's more than what we've made it. And we need to get back to what it should be. Christmas is about our relationship with God. It's about our learning to celebrate, our learning to rejoice in His glory and His goodness for our lives. It's about us joining in the celebration with Mary about how great God truly is in our lives. It's about us joining with Mary. Now, you'll understand what I'm saying as we go through the text. It starts in verse 46, and it says, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud to the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and then returned to her own house." Now we know Mary arrived when Elizabeth was probably 6 months pregnant. She left just prior to the birth. We talked about that in Sunday school. But today I want to break this down in a few different parts of what Mary is actually saying here. I want us to truly embrace what Mary embraced as she prayed and praised God for what was taking place. Now, Mary, if we go back just a little bit, remember when Mary was told that she would be with child and she was conceived, she basically said to the angel, "Let it be in me as he has promised." Now, this is the voice of someone who is saying, "God's will be done, thy will be done. Let it be unto me as it is promised." But what we see, the first thing Mary embraces, the first three verses show us that Mary is celebrating what God has done in her life. Mary is celebrating what God has done in her life. And I want to break that down even farther. First, she has been redeemed. Mary has been redeemed, just as we have. Think about it today. The first thing that she lifts up in praise is a praise to God for her salvation. She says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Mary is lifting up to God out of her salvation, and she's saying, just like we all need to say, that she's a sinner, that she's not worthy, that she is in need of a Savior. She's simply praising God for the salvation that she possesses. She's letting God know that she appreciates what He has given her. You may feel that your life is falling apart. How many of you today, I don't need you to raise your hand, I just want you to think for a moment. How many of you at some point this week or this last month have honestly sat there and thought, "My life is over. Everything's done. My life is falling apart. I don't know how I'm going to get from here to here." Every one of us goes through that moment almost on a daily basis. There's something that will happen to us on a day that will just absolutely trigger every negative emotion within us. But if we remember in that moment that we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, that we are redeemed by the blood of this baby that was being born to Mary. And if that's the case, you do have a reason to praise. You are redeemed by Christ's blood. Mary was redeemed by Christ's blood, even though she didn't know how her salvation was coming. Mary knew that God had provided a Savior, and that Savior was coming through her. Luke 10 verse 20 says, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Now, what does that mean to us this morning? It means that we have the same joy that Mary had, that our salvation is found in God and in God alone. Mary was praising God for salvation because she had been saved. We also have been saved. It may be hard for us to see in some moments. It may be hard for us to deal with in some times, but let me tell you today that we have been called a child of the King. We have been called to be His children. And there is no greater thing in the earth that we could ever see than being called a child of the Most High God. We have the same reason that Mary did to celebrate today. Because we have salvation, and it has been given to us freely. And we have an opportunity to praise God through that. So even though the times seem tough, even though things seem so difficult that you can't find your way through, you have salvation. And if that's not a good enough reason for you to praise, well, just stay tuned this morning, because I think there's more. Maybe by the end of the service, we'll all find a reason to praise. But salvation's a pretty good reason. If for nothing else, salvation means that you have life with Christ. Hebrews 13, 15 says, "Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name." The fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. And I know some of you are probably sitting there looking at me going, "But Philip, I don't have anything to praise God for." Yes, you do. We all do. Did you get up this morning? Did you walk in the doors of this church this morning? Were you able to find food this morning? Were you able to make yourself a cup of coffee? Were you able to do anything this morning? Well, then you have reason to praise God because you were able. You know, Mary's showing us today that it's a personal relationship. And Mary knew who she was. She knew what she was talking about. And when you are saved, you know it. When you are saved, you know you are saved. And it will put joy in your heart. And if it doesn't, maybe you should look a little bit harder at whether you're saved or not. Because if you don't have joy just simply coming from salvation, you need to figure out where your joy has gone. Because joy comes from God. It comes from that salvation. It comes from that moment that we realize we are saved. Mary had been redeemed, and she was praising God for her redemption. And we can rejoice in knowing today that we also are redeemed. Also have that redemption that comes through Jesus Christ, who was born of Mary. So not only was Mary redeemed, she had been regarded. Now, what does that mean to us today? Regarded is a word that we typically don't necessarily use, but that means that God had his eyes upon her. God had sought her out. He had found her in a crowd. God had looked for the truest heart he could find, and he found it in Mary. It means to turn the eyes upon, is what the word regard means. And God turned his eyes upon Mary, and he decided to bring salvation through her. Now, Mary is telling Elizabeth that she's a nobody. Mary walks in and she starts telling Elizabeth that she's not worthy of what she's been called to be, just like many of us do today. I've had this conversation with people before you have. You walk in and you say, "I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I don't have this. I don't have that. There's no reason God would choose me because I'm not the one he wants." Really? Well, she's also saying that she's experienced the grace of God first and foremost. And that she's experienced it firsthand. And yet she feels undeserving of God's grace, but she knows
that he has extended her favor. And God has given her hope. And he did it despite her circumstances. Many of us stop with the unworthy statement and we don't go any farther because we feel like God can't use us. I want to tell you today, God is using you. Whether you know it or not, God is using you in spite of yourself. Mary only accepted that God was using her and felt blessed because Mary understood that God was using her in a moment that she didn't understand. How could a girl who was young, who was unmarried, be the mother of God's son? She wasn't worthy to be, in her eyes, she wasn't worthy to be the one bearing this responsibility. But she knew God had found favor. She knew God had blessed her. She knew a blessing was coming. And what she did is she embraced it. Mary had been regarded by God. We have been chosen today as well. We have been chosen. We are somebody. Even if we don't feel like we're somebody, we are. That no matter what anyone tells us around us, no matter how negative people can get, we are called by God, saved by his grace, which is true grace. Now, I want you to hear this today. There was nothing in us when we were called. There was not a thing in us that could make us enough for God to commend us. There is nothing in us now that should give God a reason to call us. We are sinners. We are honestly the worst of the worst when it really comes down to it. There's no sin greater than another. And if we take God's grace out of the picture, what worth do we have? But nothing would remotely qualify us for what God has done for us. Absolutely nothing would give us hope other than the fact that in his grace, get that, in his grace, he loved us. He reached down to us and he saved us from who we are when we responded in our faith. When we respond in faith, Christ has the opportunity to save us. He has the opportunity to redeem us and to regard us because we realize who we are. When you say you are nothing, you are right. But it's not because you're not worthy. You're nothing without him. You got the first part right, but it's embracing the blessing that comes after that changes a Christian from a sinner. That's the difference. That's what the world doesn't see. The world feels like they are nothing and they try to fill it with everything that they can. They try to fill it with material things. They try to fill it with love that doesn't make sense. They try to fill it with lusts. They try to fill it with immorality. They try to fill it with lies. They try to fill it with every single thing they possibly can because they don't realize that they are also blessed. They don't realize that they have everything they ever needed and it came through grace. It came through a baby that was born to a virgin in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Being regarded by the Lord is a wonderful and tremendous thing. And Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." If you find someone today who is boasting about how great they are, and they're boasting about how they got this and how they got that and how they got to this point, and they don't give God the credit in it, they're not going to have it long. Because if God gave, he can also take away. And if we don't realize where the blessings come from, then there's nothing that we can do about losing them. But our hope is in those blessings that we have that we don't acknowledge. And when we lose them, everything falls apart. But it's where our hope is when that moment comes that shows us exactly where our faith is. And it also shows us where our heart is. And it also can enlighten us as to who we are in Christ. If losing something material can destroy you, maybe you need to recenter yourself. Maybe you're not on the path you thought you were. If losing something that material out of the Gatlinburg fire. I shared it on Facebook. I don't know how many of you saw it. There was one man that they talked to on, it was on Morning Express, I think, with Robin Mead on Headline News or whatever. They talked to this guy and they asked him about losing everything. And he said, I'm sure it's gone. And he talked about picking up a gas can as he left because he didn't want it to explode. And then they traveled out. They got away. And when they got where they were going, there was an old lady who just needed gas for her car. And he said, it's amazing how God works in those situations to provide something for someone else. And as he continued the conversation, she said, well, how are you going to rebuild? How are you? He goes, just pray for us. God's, you know, just pray for us. God will handle the rest. He had such a faith. Through the whole circumstance, this is the morning after this fire where he knew he had lost everything. He knew that everything he had ever worked for in life and the words that came out of his mouth were that material things can be replaced, but life is too important to put any of that over. There are some who possibly died in that. I don't know about the ones that died. I don't know their story. But it makes you wonder in times like this, how many died trying to protect something material because it was everything to them? Folks, material things can be replaced today. Your car may break down on the way home. It can be replaced. Can you? Can your life be replaced? Can your hope in Christ be replaced? If it can be replaced, then maybe you need to reconsider some things. Even though there is nothing in us, even though there's nothing about us that should commend Christ to us, that should give him hope in us, he still loves us. He still loves us, and by his grace, he transforms us into his children. And this is why we praise. This is why Mary was praising. This is what was happening in that moment. Mary had been regarded, even though she was nothing. Mary was a poor, humble girl. She was young. She didn't even know what life was. She didn't even get the opportunity to experience her teenage years without being a mother. Now, I know it was custom at that time that mothers were younger. But if we think about it today, how many of us today would have wanted what Mary had to deal with? How many of us today would have been willing to do what Mary did and say, yes, okay, do to me as you say, Lord, because it's your will. And this is how you're going to save the world. This is how you're going to do something great. And it's going to come through me. How many of us today would have had that same mentality of Mary? Because I can think of many times that I've shown that I wouldn't. When I've tried to protect something material over maybe what God was trying to lead me to do. And I think many of us could feel the same way if we really thought about it. In other words, there is nothing about who I am that should make God call me to be a minister, but yet he has. He has blessed me with an opportunity to serve this church, and I am more than willing to do what he needs me to do today. Because I feel like God has put me here for a purpose. Just like Mary. Mary was put there for a purpose. Mary was called to be the mother of Jesus Christ for a purpose. And Mary embraced her purpose. She embraced who she was. And today we need to do the same. Mary was redeemed. Mary was regarded. And Mary was rewarded. Mary was rewarded in the fact that she realized God was doing something so special in her life, that she is the means by which God chose to enter this world. God chose to enter the human race, the human side of things. God chose to become part of human history by entering the world through a young girl who was unmarried. She was ridiculed. She was talked about. I mean, if you go on through the story, even talking this morning in Sunday school and realizing that Mary had to be moved after the death of Jesus because of who she was. Mary embraced a life of ridicule. She embraced a life where people started rumors on her, where people ran their mouths about her. She embraced a life where she was laughed at. She embraced something because she knew that the days that she was going to face was going to be difficult. She knew that in the end, it would be looked back on and regarded, however, by others as one of the greatest moments in human history. As one of the greatest moments in church history, her obedience would be the reason that God would bless her. And he did. He blessed her abundantly. Her reward was in the fact that God was to be brought the glory through her life. Her reward was that her actions would bless others. How many of us today can say that we do things so that we can bless others, that our actions are for others to see? Not because they want us to see, we want them to see us, but because we want them to see God. Every one of us, in order to be saved, has to acknowledge that God has done great things in us and through us and is still doing so. Every one of us must embrace that today. And we need to think about what he's done in our lives. We need to think about the moments where he has blessed us and the moments we have enjoyed those blessings. And we need to give God the glory. In other words, we have reason to praise God with Mary today. Mary was praising God for her salvation. The second thing we see that Mary was doing is that she celebrated the Lord for his grace. Verses 50 through 53 says, "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. And he has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away." We see a couple things about God's grace in this that we'll quickly move through. One is that his grace is permanent. His grace is permanent. There is nothing about God's grace that can take it away. His grace is permanent. Mary seems to realize that she's not the only one who has received this grace. She realized that God was also using her to provide his grace for every generation. Not just her generation. She knew that God was doing something great, and she expected God to move not only on her, but also in the next generation, and the next generation, and this generation. And our next generation. God will move in our generations today. We see it where grace saves sinners. We see it where God offers us grace for battles. He offers us grace for our trials, for our valleys, and every other difficult situation that we face. It's in the bulletin. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Where we are told that his grace is made perfect in our weakness. His grace is made perfect in our weakness. His grace is sufficient for you, and it's sufficient for me today. And we really must embrace that because it's evident in how it came. It didn't come through the rich. It didn't come through the mighty. It came through a poor, humble girl who just had a heart for doing God's will. Do you have that heart today? Because if you want to see God do great things in your life, you have to have the same heart. Because it was a child to a child who just had a heart that said, "Yes, Lord, use me. Yes, Lord, do with me as you wish." And Mary was praising God because of this opportunity he had given her through his grace. And his grace came with a promise. Mary reminds us in verse 55 that those who realize that their lack can come to the Lord and be filled. Those who realize that they are lacking in an area of their lives can come to God and be filled because they can find their answers in God. Those who think they need nothing are right. If you think you need nothing in life, you're right. Because you have nothing, because you do have everything you need. You're nothing with God or without God. You're everything with God. But if you feel the need to say that you need nothing, where's your focus? God wants to bless us. He wants to give us more. He wants to give out of the overflow. And today we must embrace that. Selfishness is damaging. It's very damaging to our lives. It can destroy us. It can defy our minds. Selfishness can cause us to feel like we have exactly what we need to fight our own battles. But selfishness can only deceive us. We need to stop lying to ourselves about who we are. Who cares about whether I lie to Richie about who I am? Who do I believe I am? Or maybe what Joe tells Tammy, because it matters what Joe believes he is. Because what we need to realize is that Mary saw what God's grace was all about. Mary understood that she saw a reason for rejoicing in the grace of God, and we should as well. There is no reason we shouldn't see that God's grace is sufficient for us, because His grace is made perfect in our weakness. He's made perfect through our weakness, because that's when He has a moment to shine. Do you feel poor? Do you feel humble? Well, so was Mary, and she was the mother of Jesus Christ. It's an awful big task for such a young unmarried girl, right? But that's who God chose. So why can't He choose you? Why can't He choose you to embrace something for Him today, to do something that no one else can do? Why can't He choose you today? The third thing we see as we get ready to close this up is simply this. Verses 54 and 55 tell us that Mary celebrates God for the performance of His grace. Now, you alluded to that this morning, and I told you it might be part of the sermon, but it's true. God performed something here that we have never seen and never will see again. There's something that happened, but Mary understood. Verses 54 and 55 says, He hath holpen His servant Israel in the remembrance of His mercy as He spake to their father, to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. God performed this not only for the generation Mary was in, but for those before and for those to come after. And Mary was giving praise for God's blessings in her life. Mary was praising God for the blessings for the generations to come. Mary was praising God for remembering to do what He had promised Abraham He would do. Think about it. There were many promises God made that they never saw it come to fruition, but they died with a faith. We talked about this already. They died with a faith knowing that God was going to do something great. Mary understood, and Mary was rejoicing. God remembers His promise to us, and He has always remembered them, and He has made us promises today that He will never leave us nor forsake us. So why do you sit here today feeling forsaken? Why do you sit here today feeling like God is not speaking to your life? Why do you sit here today feeling like God is not listening to you when it should be you listening to God? Today, we need to embrace what God is doing in our lives. We are indebted to Mary in many ways. Now, before I go any farther on that, just as Joe said in Sunday school, I'm not saying that we should bow down and worship Mary. I'm not saying that we should pray to Mary. Now, don't get me wrong when I say this. I don't even think we should hold her in a higher stature than we do one another. That doesn't mean Mary wasn't special to God. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't revere who Mary was as the mother of Christ. But it does mean that there is no one to worship but Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you're worshiping Mary today, you got it wrong. Mary, we do owe her a debt of gratitude for being willing and reminding us that God's grace is a personal relationship with Him. We do owe her a debt of gratitude that it's also something we learned that is not just for us, but for others. And we learned that it's something that we can see God prove Himself in. That there are times in our lives where we see God prove Himself more and more. But we also must remember as His children that we are the same as Mary, that we have those moments where we are called, those moments where He needs us to do something great, those moments where He finds us and regards us and redeems us for a time such as this, a time that only you can do what God needs done. And are we willing to embrace that moment today? Mary just happened to be the one God chose at that time. But what is he choosing you to do? We've got to remember that as his children, his grace is sufficient for us. That his grace is made perfect in our weakness. And we must be willing to have the same heart that Mary had. We must be willing to have a heart that fully trusts God. A heart that is fully indebted to God for what he has done. And no matter where we are and where that may lead, that we are willing to say, do with me as you will. Thy will be done, no matter where I need to go. No matter what I need to do, no matter how far I need to go to do it, thy will be done, Lord. You need me to have a baby so that the world can be saved, even though I'm not married, even though the world will ridicule me, even though the world will tell me I'm not good enough to do this, even though my mother will tell me how to mother this child, then I'll do it because, God, you know better than I do. That's Mary's words. Are you in a personal relationship with God today? I really want you to think about that. I really want you to embrace that thought for a moment. Are you in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Is it personal to you? Are you living on someone else's coattails in faith? Because it's only going to get you to a certain point. And then at some point you have to make that final decision. Are you willing to trust God? Are you willing to put yourself in a place where you can celebrate him during this Christmas? Do we need to meet him today? I mean, is there something in your life that is holding you back from stepping forward in this church today? Or over the last few weeks or months? Is there something that has kept you from realizing the grace that Jesus has? The grace that God has given? And are you willing today to be like Mary? And just simply say, yes, Lord, as it is, whatever you need, Lord, I will do. Whatever you've called me to, I want to follow that path. It may mean that you need to move. I don't know what God has talked to you about. That's between you and him. But I promise you, that little tug in your heart isn't just an emotion sometimes. It's not just this moment where you're like, well, maybe. You know whether God is speaking to you or not. You know whether God is trying to get you to do something like he did Mary. He may not come to you in a dream. He may not come to your husband in a dream or your wife in a dream. He may not come to someone else to share it with you. If there's anything I've learned about the story of Mary and Joseph is that he came to Mary first through an angel. Then he went to Joseph to tell him what he told him. If he has come to you and he has shown you something, it may not be the time to tell someone yet, but you need to decipher within yourself. You need to discern for yourself, what is God calling you to do, and is this a path that I need to follow? You know the answer to that question. You know whether you've been called to go that way or go this way. You know what path he's got you on. And the path's going to lead you to his door. It's going to lead you where he needs you to be. And are you willing today to, as Mary said, simply say it's well with your soul and follow. Simply say that it's something that you can embrace and that you're going to do. And you're going to follow it where you need to follow. Because that is what God wants you to do.